We all need encouragement at some point in time, whether it's for personal motivation, comfort, or reflection. An encouraging word can offer hope, inspiration, or a new perspective. Each week, we will explore biblical passages that will encourage and remind us of God's love, faithfulness, greatness, and sovereignty in our lives. So, let's start the week off right. I'm your podcast host, Drea, and you're now listening to Divine Exhortations. Hey, friend, and happy Monday, November the 1st. I can't believe how quickly the time is going. And before you know it, we will be celebrating the Christmas holiday with our family and friends over food, laughter, and love. Or some of us might even travel abroad and go somewhere hot and sunny and warm. And if so, can you please send me a message? Let me know. I will come with you on your trip. I am overdue for a vacation. And just thinking about the time, and you know, 2022 is 2 months away, and God has been very gracious to us. He's kept us during this period of the pandemic, and we are just so grateful to be alive. And He is a sustainer and a keeper. And so we just want to express our gratitude to our King and to our Lord today. As always, thank you for tuning into Divine Exhortations. This is the Friends Edition, and I have had the privilege and honor for several of weeks to have my friends come on and share a word with you each and every Monday. And if this is your first time tuning in, welcome to the podcast. Please stick around and even go back and listen to the previous episodes. And for those of you who listen every Monday, or, you know, whenever you get a chance, thank you so much for your continued support. It means a lot to me. And so with that being said, I have an amazing friend and brother that is joining me today. Our relationship is like siblings. You know, we kind of pick at each other, bother each other, tease each other. But he is really a good friend of mine. And I'm just so glad that he agreed to come on and share a word with you today. Chris Lowe, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I am awesome, especially after hearing that I'm your friend. I
know. Oh, boy. Yeah, we'll see that for off air. I should have asked you to prepare a song, eh? And have you sing. But anyways, Chris, thank you so much for joining me today, just to encourage and uplift someone. So what I've been doing, I've been asking all my guests before they share their word, just to briefly share your salvation experience, like how you came to know the Lord.
Okay. Well, I was born and raised in church. Mother and father were both very active. My father was a previous pastor in Jamaica and elder here, and my mom is an evangelist. So coming to church and, you know, doing the whole church thing was something that was very natural to me. Didn't always like it as a child, but it was very natural. And then went to university. And of course, in university, they challenge you to use critical thinking. Yeah. And, you know, I thought, okay, I got this, you know, I'll go take some courses. And, you know, I saw this course called Philosophy and Religion. Mm. And I was like, okay, I'm going to kill this one because I know the Bible. You know, I've been to Sunday school. I can just go and preach. Just preaching my essays and get 90s, right? Went there and, you know, of course, I'm, you know, spitting Bible knowledge and stuff. And they're like, no. This is philosophy. We want you to come up with the answers of life without leaning on God or without depending on the Bible, right? Mm. Use your own mind to come up with all the answers in life. So I'm like, okay. It was scary, of course.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know, God is real. And so I believe that, you know, any road and every road that you take, whether philosophy, biology, chemistry, whatever, it should all lead back to God, right? Because God's the creator of everything.
Amen.
So I took the plunge, and then started moving further and further away from my faith and away from what I had been taught, because, they ask you, how do you know the Bible's real? How do you know that whatever you've been taught is real? You got to really come up with the answers. So, continued to do that. And of course, my faith started to get weaker and weaker. And I started depending less and less on God and on my own self, my own intelligence and critical thinking and reason. And then when I just about would have let go, because when you read philosophy, you're reading about some great, brilliant men and women. It was all about Aristotle and Plato and all of them, and they had some amazing thoughts. And so, I would read Plato and be like, oh yes, I love this guy. And then I'd read Aristotle, spent his whole life breaking down everything that Plato said. So I was like, jump over to that foundation, philosophical foundation, and be like, yes, I love Aristotle. And just jumping from one place to the other, not really having foundation. And then I got this email. I can't remember who it was from, but I always refer to it as an email directly from God. And it was talking about the very center verse of the Bible, Psalms 118, verse 8. It's the verse that divides the Bible equally in half. And it says, it's better to put your trust in God than to put confidence in man.
And man, right.
That blew my mind. Have you ever read a scripture and it just floors you?
Yes.
Yeah. And you could read that same scripture another time, another moment in life, another, situation, and it may not have the same effect. But when the right scripture hits you at the right time, oh my goodness.
Oh,
And
yeah.
that was what happened here. And what I got from that was, it's better to put your trust in God than confidence in brilliant men, philosophers, and all of those, and even myself, man, right? My own intelligence, my thought process, my opinions, is better to put your trust in God. Because I realized that one man would spend his entire life building a philosophy, and then another man would come the next generation and build an entire his entire life philosophy to tear down that first guy's philosophy. So it's like, who's right, and there's no truth that really could stand outside of God. And I read another scripture, someone sent me another scripture in Colossians that says, don't be spoiled with vain philosophy. And it is vain to think that we as individuals, on this earth for just a few years, as the Bible says, just for, for by from morning you rise up, and by evening, biblically, you're dead, right? We're only here for a few years, and we are vain enough to think that we have the answers for everything. So I, began to realize that the Bible was written over a period of, what was it, about 1600 years, written by 39 different writers that didn't tear each other down, but they supported each other, never seen each other, never met each other, from different social and socioeconomic backgrounds, some rich, some poor, some educated, some non-educated, and all of them in their various time periods with their various experiences came together, in the spirit, to write this book, or this collection of books that all goes together. Where else on earth can you find so many people agreeing on one thing? People that don't have an underlying agenda to begin with. They just met God, or God appeared to them, and they had experiences. And the experience of the Old Testament from the beginning of time lines up with the experiences from the New Testament, and lines up with the future prophecies. It's just an amazing thing that you will not ever find anywhere else on earth. And so that was how God called me back from the brink of being an unbeliever. So a lot of people think, those who are born and raised in church, that's all they know, and they're just following their parents. But not so. Everyone has their own experience and their own, what they their own story, what they go through in their faith.
Thank you so much for sharing that and being so transparent about that. Sometimes I know for those who, were raised in church, I'm pretty sure that there are challenges as well versus someone coming, from outside the church. And I think I guess the misconception rather is that because you're inside church or you're born in church, that you guys don't have too much struggles. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, so just thank you for like I said, for being candid and just being open about that. I'm pretty sure there are others like you who can attest to that and just having their own personal challenges while being born and raised in the church. So thank you so much, Chris.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, so I'm going to hand back over to you, and you are going to take us away and just share your word, whatever is laid upon your heart with us today.
All right. So, thinking about what to say, and I remembered that just a few days ago, actually, I was sharing something with my mom how God had answered a prayer. And I was just telling her, that I was beginning to doubt and beginning to wonder. And, she sent me a scripture from Romans 4, verses 18 to 25. And it was just talking about not staggering, not allowing your faith to stagger. Because that's another thing is that, whether you're born in church or not, from the time you come to know the Lord, God himself is unseen, right? And it's as the Bible says, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. It's not an easy thing to believe all of these things that we haven't seen and haven't been able to prove. And it's not easy to have faith. And so sometimes when we are believing and trying to trust God, sometimes there's various challenges to our faith. And there's times where no matter how strong you feel your faith is, sometimes, I've been in church all my life and called an evangelist and this and that and whatnot. But I've prayed for others and seen healing and seen deliverance in various ways, through singing and through speaking of the word. But then sometimes in your own life, you pray for stuff and you don't see an answer. You don't see God moving in the way that his word says, because there's so many promises in the word of God. But sometimes we don't see it. We don't experience that in our own lives. The Bible says we're going to be the head and not the tail, but then you see that you're broke, right? And he promises that he's the healer, Jehovah Rapha, my healer. And you read all these stories of healing, but then some of us Christians have had chronic illnesses for years and years and years, right? We've prayed, we've asked others to pray, and still nothing changes. So today, that's what I just wanted to talk about is just to encourage people to have faith in spite of, or to have crazy faith. There's a scripture that is mentioned in the Old Testament that says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro about the earth, seeking to show himself strong to those whose hearts are perfect towards him.
Amen.
And when it talks about someone whose heart is perfect towards him, it's not saying that you have to be perfect in order for God to show himself to you. But what it means is that your faith is perfectly towards him. Your heart is completely towards him, so that you don't have any doubts or anything like that. But he's seeking to show himself to those who are completely sold out to him, completely trusting in him. So yes, the scripture in Romans 4, I'll just share that with you, is talking about Abraham. And verse 18 says, talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And it says here, verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. So these are the facts that he could have been considering. His own body was now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, and she was about 90. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being
Amen.
fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he was able also to perform. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Yeah, and the part that she was saying to me is that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. And so many times we're standing, we're walking with God. We always talk about our walk with God. It is a journey. But along the way, sometimes we can stagger. Sometimes we can get tripped up. And the Bible, I was looking at, what faith really means, and usually I would go to the dictionary, but the Bible itself gives a beautiful definition in Hebrews chapter 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And sometimes we hope for some things so much. We hope for a change in our finances. We hope for a change in our health. We hope for a change in our family circumstances, our marriage, our children, so many things, our jobs, so many aspects of life we have hope for. And faith is the substance or the tangible thing that you can hold on to in that time period before you get what you're hoping for. What we're told to hold on to is faith. But sometimes we're holding on to that faith and holding on and holding on, and yet we're still looking for that thing that we're hoping for, or that thing that we're hoping for. One of the things about faith is, it needs to be really strong, as it says here about Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Our faith needs to be strong, but sometimes some things can chip at it or bruise it, or challenge it. And I'll confess, even right now, I'm praying for something. I'm praying for a word from God, and I've been praying for a long time, and God hasn't he hasn't spoken yet. And that's the thing too. Sometimes God will speak to you. I mean, God spoke to me in the clearest way that I've ever heard him speak to me when I was trying to make the decision regarding marriage. And I was like, God, I'm not going to go forward unless you give me the go ahead. And God spoke to me on three separate occasions. So because of that, our past experiences sometimes builds our faith for the future. But sometimes it also sets us up, where we expect that God is again going to speak that clearly. And that's why even right now I'm saying, okay, God, you did it before. I know you can do it again. I need you to speak very clearly. I need you to crack the clouds. I need you to come down and show your face and tell me exactly what to do. Right? But that's the thing about God. Sometimes he changes his methods. Sometimes, he's not predictable. And, sometimes we can get into this mode like the Israelites, where it's just like a routine, right? We do something the same way every time, and we expect that God is going to do the same thing every time. And that's not real trust, is it?
No, it's
Right?
not.
Yeah. Sometimes, he'll take you through one circumstance and deliver you in a certain way. Another time, he'll take you through another circumstance and deliver you a different way. Or another time, he'll take longer to deliver you. Sometimes he won't deliver you. He'll give you the strength to stand in that situation, right? So there's so many different ways that God can work, and it's amazing that God is that way, but it's also scary, right? To live it out. It's like we love certainty, right? We love when we can control what's going to happen, and when we know what tomorrow is going to hold, and when we can predict and plan and set up our plan board or whatever, and say, okay, by this time we're going to have this, and we're going to be here in our lives and there in our lives, and we just hope that life goes that way. But we both know, and anyone else listening knows, that that's not exactly how life goes and not how God works all the time. Right? So even now, like, this is part of, why I even wanted to encourage people about this, on this topic, is because even now I'm fighting that fight of faith, as the Bible says, to fight the good fight of faith. It is a fight sometimes to hold to our faith. And even in this present pandemic and all the various ways that people have been affected, losing loved ones and jobs and connections with people, sometimes it's hard to hold on to that faith when you don't know why, you don't know when it's going to end, you don't know what the end result is going to be. What do you do when your faith is bruised? What do you do when, I mean, the promises of God and the word of God is what we're taught to stand on and to depend on. But what happens when your life doesn't match up with what you've read all these years and what you've come to believe? And so Abraham was in this situation. God, he told him, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. So this is a 100-year-old guy, You've been childless for all these years. Your wife is 90, and yeah, I'm going to give you a son. Not only am I going to give you a son, but I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Right? He shows him the sand of the seashore and says, you know, as if you can number these, you can number how many children you're going to have. And you must have been like, oh my goodness. But you know, Abraham's known as the father of faith because he believed beyond hope, as it says here. He hoped beyond hope. And so, you know, he waited and waited and waited and waited and waited. I'm sure they did what they need to do to have children, right? And you know, waited and waited and waited. And they had to wait for probably about 10 years, right? And that is one of the huge bruises to faith, is that time, that interim, you know, that length of time in between the promise and the fulfillment of the promise. That road that you have to walk, not knowing, not hearing again from God. Yes, you heard from him very clearly initially, but then that long road before it actually happens. And in that road, you begin to wonder, okay, did I really hear from God? Or is this really going to happen? Or maybe God wants me to do something about it, right? And of course, that's where, you know, Sarah got the idea about having the child with Hagar. And we saw what happened there. That messed up, well, it could have messed up the whole plan if God wasn't so sovereign and powerful. And how many times do we mess up, you know, certain situations, or we almost mess it up, or could have messed it up, had it not been for God? Because you know, when we don't know what's going on, sometimes we try to compromise, we try to make up something and do things our own way, right?
Yeah, take matters like into our own hands.
Exactly. Because you know, of course, we're so smart and we're so wise. We can, you know, I can probably do this better than God, or maybe God needs a little helping hand here, right? Well, we saw that when they did that, that created a huge mess. But in spite of the mess, thank God for his grace, in spite of how
Amen.
mess up, God still fulfilled his promise, you know? And we have to always remember that God's word will not return to him void, as the scripture says, but it will always accomplish what he said it would.
Yes, always.
Always, you know. So again, I ask the question, what do we do? What do we do while we're waiting? What do we do while we're struggling and staggering in our faith? Right? And Ephesians 6 says, finally, my brethren, verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. When you're being bruised, when the arrows are coming at you, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we know during the interim in between, when you're waiting for your promise, the devil is hard at work, right? Hard at work talking to you and trying to discourage you. And it's not just the devil, it's you yourself too. It's me.
Yeah,
We're
our own thoughts. Yeah, for
right.
sure.
Our own doubts start to creep in. And but the Bible says that we need to stand, you know, having our loins girt about with truth, your feet shod with the gospel of peace. In other words, be busy about God's work. You know, you're waiting for your promotion on the job, but continue to pray. Continue to pray for others. Continue to meet the needs of the poor. Continue to preach and sing and do what you've been doing, you know.
Amen. Yeah.
And it says, above all, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, right? That shield of faith is such an important part of our weaponry, of our armory, in walking this walk and fighting this good fight of faith. We have to have that shield of faith so that when the doubts come, when the uncertainty comes, when life circumstances come, we can block them. They can be quenched by that shield of faith. And you know, it's not easy to those who are maybe just coming to Christ, even those who have been with Christ a long time. You know, it's not an easy road. It's not an easy road, you know, because as I said, we're used to knowing what's happening next. We're used to being in control. But God is saying, you know what? Take your hands off the wheel and give me the wheel. And I'm in control. So, you know, this is just an encouragement to all those whose faith has been bruised. Faith, as much as it can be bruised at times, but we've got to hold on. We've got to hold on. I'm encouraging you as I'm encouraging myself. We've got to hold on, because one of the reasons why I even had that conversation with my mom is because there's something that I've been praying about that has finally come true. You know, and I had to confess to my mom and be like, you know what? I was beginning to give up. I was beginning to wonder if this was gonna be something that God would do for me, you know? But thank God for his promises. Thank God that he's faithful. Even when we do let go a little bit, you know, God is still faithful. His word will not return to him void.
Amen.
That's the kind of God we serve, is that when he says something, it is true. And, you know, before I go, I just wanted to also share another scripture here. It's funny you asked me about my how I came to know the Lord, because this scripture was actually it is actually one of my favorites, because during that time of waiting for the promise of the Holy Ghost, 16 years I waited for that promise.
16 years.
16 years.
Wow.
So you can
Yeah.
imagine my faith staggered to where that was concerned, right?
Of course, of course.
I tried saying hallelujah fast. I tried saying it slow. I tried loud, quiet, you know, at home, church, wherever I could. I was just trying different things, you know, trying my own way of doing things, trying to find out the secret, and trying to, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, but without faith, it is
It's
impossible to please
impossible,
him.
right?
It's impossible to please him without faith. No matter what we try, no matter what else we do, there's no way around it. We've got to have faith. We've got to trust God. We've got to believe God. No matter how hard it gets sometimes, we've got to have faith, because it's impossible to please him without faith. You know, and even those of us who are married, like, I know the guys will understand what I'm saying. When you say you want your wife to trust you know, when you know, you may not explain everything at the time. And ladies, I'm sure you also do this too. You know, you may not always explain something to someone, whether it's your spouse or your children. Sometimes, you know, your children's favorite word is why? Why can't I do it? Why can I do it? Why? Right? And people always want to know the why, but sometimes you don't always reveal the why, but you want them to just trust me.
Trust your
You
word.
know, just trust my word. I said I'm going to do it, or I said not to do something. Trust me that I know why, you know? Trust me that you'll be okay if you just listen and just trust me. And that's all God wants, is just for us to just trust him. You know, he described himself as our father. You know, we gotta trust him. My son, when he's hungry, he just wants food. He doesn't care how much we have to work for it. He doesn't know where it comes from. He doesn't know how the paycheck comes. He just trusts that mommy and daddy are gonna get him some food. But we gotta find it wherever we gotta find it, right? And that trust, you know, it's a lot of responsibility on us, but it's also a good feeling to know that he completely trusts us. And that's what God wants, is just for us to completely trust him. You know, as it says here, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, right? So we got to believe in the existence of God, of course, first and foremost. We got to believe that he's there. And although he may be silent sometimes, he may not answer sometimes, but we got to believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, we've got to, you know, he told a parable, Jesus told a parable about a woman that went to an unjust judge or a heathen judge, and she wanted something, and he was like, no. And she kept going back and back and asking and asking and asking, nagging and nagging and nagging him, until eventually he was like, you know what? Because you've nagged me so much, I'm just going to give it to you know? And sometimes we feel as if, you know, you pray and pray and pray and pray to God about something, that, you know, you got to stop praying now because maybe he's tired of it. But he's saying, this is how I want you to be. Sometimes when you pray, I'm going to answer right away. Remember, we were talking earlier about the different ways that God may show himself or may move, right? Sometimes you pray earnestly one time and that thing comes true right there. Sometimes he wants you to pray and pray and show your faith in that way. right? Where you will diligently seek him, passionately, repeatedly seek him until you get what you need. Because some of us say we believe God, but if it takes more than three hard prayers or two tears, we give up, right? Do we believe God if that's how easy it is for us to give up? So, God is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hold on to that word, believe that word. In spite of what bruises may come or challenges may come to our faith, we've got to just hold on, hold on, hold on. God will never, never fail us. Never.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that wonderful word of faith with us today. I personally feel very encouraged today, and it's a strong reminder. And you mentioned some great key points for us to consider, as we listen to this episode. So I hope everyone is encouraged today. Thank you once again, Chris, for just sharing what was laid upon your heart with us on this
Thank you so much,
Monday. Of course. Could you just do us the honor and close this segment out in prayer, please?
Ryan. Okay, sure. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time that we've had. We thank you, Lord God, that you're always present with us. You said where two or three are gathered, you're in the midst, Lord, and we know and we feel that you're in the midst right now. Lord God, I want to pray, Lord Jesus, that you will touch both of us that are here on this line. We pray that you will touch anyone who hears this, Lord God. Maybe somebody will share it. Maybe somebody will stumble upon it, Lord God. And we know that you work in mysterious ways. And so I know that every person that hears this needs it. Everyone that hears this will be encouraged. Everyone that hears this, there is a reason that they have heard it, Lord. And I pray, Lord, in spite of the pandemic, in spite of the situations that are happening, in spite of sickness, in spite of negative situations, in spite of financial difficulties, in spite of struggles in the mind, Lord God, in spite of struggles in their relationships, whatever the struggle might be, God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will strengthen the faith of each and every hearer, God. We pray that you'll strengthen the faith, oh God, of those across the world, Lord God. So many are in various situations, suffering hunger and persecution and all kinds of things that we never dreamed that we would being called Christians, Lord. But we know that although you don't stop us from crying, but you wipe all tears from our eyes. And we know that whatever we may go through in this life, Lord God, either you'll deliver us here, Lord God, or you will give us the strength to go through what we're going through, Lord Jesus. But as long as we trust you, we know that our reward is in heaven. We know that we will be blessed, Lord God. And I pray a special blessing for each and every hearer today. I pray that you'll strengthen our faith. I pray that you'll encourage us and bless us, Lord God, and have your way. Help us to trust you, God, to give up, to let go of the wheel, and to let you take full control, Lord Jesus. That is what you want, Lord God, and we know that you will come through. We thank you, we praise you, and we glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I pray that this exhortation has inspired you to act on God's word, challenged you to believe what his word says, and encouraged you to put your confidence in him. With that being said, have a fantastic week, everyone. Much love and many blessings. Bye. Hey, friend, thank you for listening to today's exhortation. I believe you were inspired, challenged, and encouraged today. Because of that, don't keep it to yourself. Share this podcast with a friend, a family member, even a coworker. Feel free to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your day. I really feel so special. Let's do this again. See you next Monday.